The following is a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about them Cowboys?
Yeah! Go Cowboys!
Let's go, baby!
Are you ready for a break?
Yes.
Are you ready for a break?
Absolutely.
Ready for a break?
Yeah, and so much for that.
It's time for The Break on DallasCowboys.com.
We were on a break!
With Nick Eatman, Brian Broaddus, Ambar Garcia, and Derek Eagleton.
It is Wednesday, January 11th, 2023, season 18, episode number 105. Welcome to the latest edition of The Break. We're live from the SWBC Mortgage Studios at the Star and presented by Miller Lite, the only beer of the Dallas Cowboys. Today is our job to get you ready for Cowboys versus Buccaneers. We will focus in today on the Buccaneers offense versus the Dallas defense. We got some fan questions we'll get. We're going to try to get questions every day from fans this week, getting you guys ready for the game. And I actually wanted to start today's conversation with a question that I received on Twitter from Clarence Yee. The question was, are we, and I think he's meaning by that, the fans, the media, everybody out in the Cowboy universe, are we overreacting to the Washington loss? It was ugly, but recall last year's anticipation for the playoffs after the Philly game. It was Super Bowl or bust. This year, I don't know what he was saying there, but basically the point he was making was, are we overreacting to that loss? Because sometimes you can lose the last game and still do well. Other times you can win and not do so well. What do you think?
Yeah, I think, yes, I'm overreacting a little bit, but that's what we do. I mean, that's why you talk about football for 7 days before each game. I mean, each day. I mean, that's what you do. So, yeah, it's probably a little bit of overreacting. No one will talk about it if they play well. But that's the last game we've got, last memory that we've got. And it's not the best, game to go into the playoffs. But as I've said before, last year's game did not carry over into the playoffs. So you can only hope this one doesn't either.
No, we're not overreacting at all. This was a must-win game. It really was. If you think about it, I mean, you had to go in there and you had to establish that you were going to win the game and then pull the starters once you realized what was going on in Philadelphia. So, yeah, I mean, it's the same problems. You don't run. You're throwing interceptions. How many pick sixes has this guy thrown this year? How many? And Nick talks about it. I heard him on the radio this morning talking about it on 105.3 The Fan. It's not an overreaction at all. You're trying to establish things or try and clean up things that you've been poor at. The last several weeks they haven't run the ball. The last several weeks the quarterback's thrown interceptions every week. These aren't overreactions. These are trends that are going towards you getting in the playoffs. And everybody says, you got beat by a backup quarterback who completed 11 passes. You got dominated up front. You're going to play better. I don't know if you're going to play better fronts when it comes to, the defensive fronts. But that's not in a game that you're trying to win initially. No, we're not overreacting at all. These are legitimate concerns. And we'll all be in here Tuesday morning if they show up again. And we really won't be overreacting then. Mm-hmm. Because, I think the reality is that this team has faults. It plays remarkably well at times. It overcomes mistakes that they make along the way. But the trends are going in the wrong way for this football team, much like it went the wrong way after the Denver game last year. There's things you're seeing that are concerning as you get ready for a playoff game.
Yes, no. What do you think?
Well, even though I do think that the Cowboys are going to be able to play a lot better this weekend when they go out to Tampa, I don't think that this is an overreaction either, because you're talking about a team that was incapable of doing absolutely anything. They got one touchdown. They missed the extra point. Other than that, that was it. Like, 11 three and outs, that's freaking embarrassing. How are you not able to do absolutely anything against a team that's not even competing to be in the playoffs anymore? So it's not... Had they lost that game, it would have been different if you saw some fight in the game, but we didn't see any of that. So that's what makes it worse for me. It's not that they lost, whatever, you're still in the playoffs, but it's how they lost it. There was nothing in there that they did well. And it gives you worry going into the playoffs when you know you're going to face a team that's a lot better, a quarterback that's the best ever played.
Yeah,
probably the best quarterback in the NFL ever played. But it just gives you a lot more worry and concern. But I do think they're going to be competitive in this game. But it was just a crappy way to go out. This week does not feel like we're about to head into the playoffs. That's not the vibe, at least for me. And like in our office space, it's just not as exciting as it would be had they won that game or probably competed in that game.
Yeah, I was gonna say I the only thing I disagree with you there is I don't think Tampa Bay is better than Washington. I mean, I don't believe that. I know they're in the playoffs and they're in and they got a quarterback that everyone knows and all that, but I don't think they're a better football team than Washington, especially from a matchup standpoint. Now, I know the Cowboys have struggled against Tampa. They're not the same Tampa team that they've played, but I'm just saying I think let's not – that's what I keep wrestling with is that Tampa's not a good football team. They're not. I mean, they're below average
team. Have they started to trend up?
No.
You don't feel like they have?
Mm-mm. I mean, they beat Carolina. They beat Carolina at home, but I don't think they are trending up. I think they're trending in their 8-8, 8-9, whatever they are. You know, because I know they didn't play all their guys at the end of the game. Probably could have won it, but 9-8, 8-9, whatever they are. I think they're an average football team. I think Washington's an average team that knows the Cowboys better. And I think that's a little tougher matchup. But I'm just saying the reason why I say that I don't overreact is because I think this team has proven that they can turn it around. I think that they will turn it around. And I do think whatever the reason for it, they were not prepared for the game. I know they'll be prepared for this
game. So let's go down that line of thinking. If you say they're an average team, does it concern you at all that three of the four losses Dallas has this year are to average teams?
Yeah, on grass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, what do you think Dallas is?
You think they're an average team? Yeah. You think they're an average team?
I'm not trying to attack you on this. I'm just interested if
they're a really good football team.
Yeah. I think that to me that, you know.
You're trying to like convince yourself.
No, I mean, no.
Just the way the face you made.
They're a really good team. Yeah. No, I was laughing at the way he was just like, yeah, which means hell no. I meant hell no. Yeah.
I lost my will to fight right then. I just didn't want to go there.
I think they're a really good team. Like, this is a 17 game season.
Sure.
They're really good, and they're one of the best. They're one of the best teams in the NFL right now. And I mean, that's what makes that game so weird to comprehend. But they are a better football team than that. They're a better football team than the Bucs. They're going to have to go prove it, and no one will care. But they have to do it. I think they are a better team.
I think they're a good team. Here's my challenge, and I kind of agree with everything everybody says, but the reason why I think it's not an overreaction is because I don't think it's an overreaction from the standpoint of the storyline that continues the same. And what I mean by that is you still can't run the ball. You still can't stop the run. You're still turning the ball over. Like, those are things that have been storylines that have persisted over the last several weeks. And now, by the way, you're going to face a team that you faced earlier this year that did those exact same things to you. They ran the ball. Even though they're not a good running team, they ran the ball against you. You couldn't stop them, and you couldn't run the ball against their front. You want to talk about a good front you just faced? This might be comparable when you start talking about fronts and how good they are up front. Tampa may be just as good. So I just look at that, and I'm like, that's the part where I'm like, this isn't an overreaction from that standpoint. That doesn't mean Dallas can't go and win, because I do think this. I told somebody this yesterday. I think Dallas is good enough to beat any team, and I mean absolutely any team in the NFL on any given Sunday.
Sure.
They absolutely can. I also think Dallas can lose to almost any team. There's probably one or two they wouldn't lose to. But almost any team in the NFL on any given Sunday, if they play like they played last Sunday, they can lose that game.
Yeah, both those teams fighting for that number one pick were giving the Cowboys some problems in the second half.
Right. So I think the Cowboys are all over the map. So anybody that says they know what Dallas is going to do Monday, good luck with that. Like, I don't trust that.
What's the reaction then? You said, is this an overreaction? What is the reaction? It's kind of like
reaction,
people
say
overrated. Well,
they're one and done. That's the I mean, I think Ambar's right about this. I think people have just have taken on the whatever you want to call it, they've just taken on the burden of this team's just not good enough to go. Even though Tampa is probably not better than the Cowboys, mm-hmm. the good teams don't turn over the ball. Good team, and you're going to argue with me, but you're going to say good teams are really good on offense. Good teams score, Brian. Good teams do this. Good teams lead the league in turnovers. Mm-hmm. Good teams do that. And I'm just sitting there thinking about all the things that can make them an even better team that they don't do well. You know, they haven't rushed the passer as well as they need to. I mean, but that is that on them or is it on the schemes they're playing?
Yeah.
The thing that always just bothers me now, Nick, about this is like every week you ask a question at the podium to Dak and it's about an interception. You know, you can't even get to your questions about the three touchdowns he threw or the four touchdowns mm-hmm. he threw that day. You know, the questions to Jerry Jones after the games and stuff and, you know, the running and the run defense and all this stuff like that. I mean, it trends in a way of like this team isn't good, you know, but everything else kind of there's other things that say that it is good, but the things that you really feel like you need to win in the playoffs, they're not good at. That's the problem.
Yeah, I think that's
the problem.
Difference there may be, this is where I would put it, I don't think you can say they're not a good team. A team that gets 12 wins.
I think they're a good team.
I think what you got to say is, are they a Super Bowl caliber team? The way they're playing right now, I think that's where the overreaction is. I think most people watched last week, but what I'm saying, most people that watched last week are saying they are not one of the teams that are really in the hunt for a Super Bowl. That's the overreaction, I think, at this point, because of what you've been seeing the last few weeks. And that's I think that is fair for people to have that estimation. Now, we'll see where it goes from there.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I thought we were talking about the game. I thought we were talking about the Bucs game and like what they're going to do this week. But like, no, I don't think they're a Super Bowl caliber team. I've never seen a Super Bowl caliber team.
But you know what?
I've been here a while.
Back to what you said earlier, how you think Tampa is not a better team than what Washington has. Okay, they made it into there. Whatever. Sure. What I'm going back to remembering, for example, when we were talking about Green Bay, totally different team. Mm-hmm. But Cowboys were way better than what Green Bay was. And they went out there, you thought they could win, and then Aaron Rodgers, once again, slaps you in the face. Overtime, they end up winning the game. So it's one of those things that even though pieces in their team are not the best, you're still talking about a quarterback that's going to be Tom Brady, who you haven't been able to ever beat at this point. I'm not saying it can't happen. I do think this is going to be a good game and the Cowboys will show up and play a tough game. But we can't just dismiss them and think, oh, well, it's not.
Yeah,
no, but I do think they're better than Washington was. And whatever, every game is different.
I just don't agree. I really don't agree. I think that we look at the schedules and all that, and I think that, you know, you got to remember, when you get in as an 8-9 team, that means you won your division, mm-hmm. and that means your division is terrible. And I think when, you know, Washington missed the playoffs by half game or whatever, and all three of the other teams got in, look at who they played six times. Look who the Bucs played six times. And the Bucs, you know, I think Tom Brady saved them. The defense saved them most of the time, and then Brady at the end just won the game. So I really don't. I got to remember that. The Cowboys are four games better than, you know, on the record. But I think really – is they're about five or six games better. So I get it. There's concerns, but I don't believe that this is I think the body of work is too large, and I think that when they are ready to play, when they need to have a really big opponent, and if it's Philadelphia with the division on the line, the Giants on Thanksgiving, obviously, you know, the Vikings going to came back from Green Bay. I think that they respond. I think they will respond in this game.
All right, we're going to take our first break. When we come back, I'm going to dive into this Tampa Bay offense versus the Dallas defense. We'll do that in just a few minutes. This is DallasCowboys.com radio.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savannah. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details. What do you call a group of grown men and women with their faces painted silver and blue who get together every week to share a three-hour-long ritual of jumping, sinking, and toasting Miller Lite in 10-gallon hats while yelling, "How about them cowboys?" You call it Miller Time in Dallas. Here's to the cowboys. Here's to the original light beer. It's Miller Time. Celebrate responsibly. 2021 Miller Brewing Company, Fort Worth, Texas.
Want to use what the pros use? How about the official men's skincare brand of the Dallas Cowboys? Jack Black. Right now you can get the Jack Black Starter, a curated collection of Cowboys locker room favorites for just $10 with free shipping. The starter includes four Jack Black skincare favorites plus a full-sized intense therapy lip balm. Go to getjackblack.com/cowboys and use the code word TEAMJB. That's getjackblack.com/cowboys. The Jack Black Starter, $10, free shipping.
When you build, you start with the foundation. And home ownership is a foundation of a stable future. The Bank of America Community Home Ownership Commitment has helped over 34,000 people lay the groundwork so far. With up to $10,000 towards your down payment or 3% of the purchase price, whichever is less, the satisfaction of owning your own place can become a reality. Visit bankofamerica.com/homeowner to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America NA, Equal Housing Lender. Credit and collateral is subject to approval. Restrictions apply. This is not a commitment to lend.
Back to the break.
Country Music Awards are coming to Ford Center at the Star in Frisco. The Academy of Country Music Awards are always bringing you the country music's brightest stars under one roof. May 11th. Get your tickets, SeatGeek.com.
Welcome back. Second segment of the break, live from SWBC Mortgage Studios at the Star. This segment brought to you by Blockchain.com. All right, let's start this conversation on Tampa Bay with, I'm going to take you guys back to week one of the season. Obviously, we know by the end of the game, Dak Prescott was hurt in the locker room, the whole nine. Before that point, give me one memory you have from that game. One thing that happened in that game that you're like, this is one thing that kind of concerns me or gives me hope.
What I remember is that they tried every double reverse and trick play that
first series of the game.
First series, yeah. And they got like a 53-yard field goal out of Maher, and that was it. That was the only points. And it took all this kind of – I mean, like 9 months of preparation to do all these things to move the ball just enough to get to the 38-yard line or whatever, 36-yard line and make that kick. So that wasn't good. That's what I remember is it took everything you had, and then the Bucks were like, all right, enough of that. Yeah. So. Yeah, that wasn't good.
You know, I remember that game, and I went back and watched it last night, but there were some things about it. I just remember how many times they got Julio Jones involved, whether it was jet sweeps or throwing him the ball. And you know, Mike Evans made some really nice plays down the field. But I just – the biggest memory that I came away from was that they were actually running the ball pretty well with Zeke. You know, he was averaging like almost 5.5 yards a carry, and then they just completely stopped.
Oh yeah,
and then all of a sudden it turned into Dak trying to force the ball into coverage, and they were knocking pass. I mean, I've never seen a team just those PBUs, passes broken up, just bam, bam, bam. They kept challenging the Buccaneers. They were challenging the Buccaneers in the middle of the field, and then he throws that ball, the interception that Winfield gets, and I'm like, why? And that kind of was the snapshot of okay, if you said Dak this year, that interception of Winfield was like, oh, that's what you're going to see. You're going to see more of this. But the biggest memory was they were running the ball well, and they stopped. They just completely stopped running the ball with Zeke.
And the game never really was out of hand where they had to do
that. Dallas made some really good stops to make them kick field goals.
Yeah.
I mean, they really did. And so it's unfortunate that they went away from that and it turned into trying to force the football.
What I remember is the excitement heading into that game, thinking this is this time around the Cowboys will be able to beat Tampa based on how they had played the year before and how they competed pretty good. And then thinking Dak is back to being Dak. And then the game starts and he was pretty bad. He was not Dak. Yeah. And it was just a game that you're like, okay, what are we watching? Based on like the initial excitement, then he gets hurt, and you're like, oh, okay, now we got to wait a whole another year to start this over again. Luckily, things didn't go down that way. It went better than that, and Cooper Rush did a really good job. But that's pretty much it. Nothing was working for the Cowboys in that game. As far as like you having your starters back, you had Zach Martin back in the lineup, and you thought, oh, that was the missing piece that you needed to beat Tampa the year before, and now you got all your starters in there, and it's just, it wasn't really what you expected it to be.
Well, you lose McGovern really early in that game, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Farniak is in there early, and then you got the, now you got Farniak and Tyler Smith playing on the left side, and you're now, you're like, hold your breath, here we go, kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right, so let's now focus in a little bit to the Tampa Bay offense versus the Dallas defense.
Yeah.
Brian, talk to me about the differences between what we saw from the Tampa offense, what they were on week one to what they are now.
Yeah, they can't run the ball, and they try, and they really don't go very well. Where Dallas struggled in this game, we talked about the jet sweeps. We could see this again. What they did, they ran counter runs, and what they put a lot of pressure on Diggs in this game, having to deal with pulling alignment. They weren't good at the point of attack with them, like where the ball was running, say, to the left. The right defensive end, Armstrong, gets crushed. They get a block on the linebacker. Now linemen are up on Diggs, who's retreating, and now you've got Fournette running downhill. They figured out that, like, listen, we can move offensive linemen in this game, and Dallas won't be able to handle that. So worry about that a little bit, of them coming back. You know, Tampa, when they run the ball, a lot of it is like Brady takes the snap and just hands it inside, and then it's Fournette to hit the hole. In the game against Dallas, it was all those perimeter runs that really hurt Dallas in that game, and they figured out running at Diggs was the best way to do it. I kind of feel like that they're maybe go back to a little of that kind of running. Now, the problem is with their offensive line, they're not really healthy. And Donovan Smith, who their left tackle, I was talking to people in Tampa about this last night. I said, listen, I'm watching your games, and it doesn't look like Donovan Smith's playing very well for you right now, the left tackle. And he's like, honestly, he's not. Circle back to the game if you're the Cowboys. What happened? They moved Parsons over to Donovan Smith's side in that game. Inside move, outside move. They really put him in some bad spots. My Tampa guys admit it's like, yeah, we're a little bit worried about Parsons going over there and having to deal with Smith. Because you do watch the Cincinnati game, I watched the San Francisco game. San Francisco just mauled them. You know, I mean, with McCaffrey and those guys, they showed the ability to run the football against, you know, but you just have to. It's those combination blocks, which Dallas has struggled with, the combination blocks of two guys together and just push that defensive lineman. And now you got a back that has the ability to make the cut. That's the thing that San Francisco, Cincinnati just got luckier than heck. They threw the ball. Brady had a touchdown call back from a holding call because of Donovan Smith. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it there's the second half. I mean, Tampa played great on offense against Cincinnati in the first, up 17-0. You're thinking like, oh, they're going to roll. Then all of a sudden turnovers hit. Brady throws an interception. Brady fumbles the ball. Brady fumbles the ball again. You know, all of a sudden now, and Cincinnati's kicking field goals, and then at the end of the game, they get the go-ahead touchdown and end it right there. But this offense is different just because they haven't had the health in the offensive line, and they haven't had the health at receivers. Julio Jones has been really, really banged up for them too. So that's something that they're going to have to deal with. Him, Evans, those guys. Still, like say, Donovan Smith, I think, is the best thing to do here. And they're having problems at center. Nick Leverett is the guard who's the normal starting guard. He's had to play center. So they're kind of in some flux right there. And they were in flux when they played in week one. Yeah. They had some problems in week one. So those things haven't changed for them. But this is a team that, like I say, I would be worried about the stuff going to the perimeter. They had success because they found out that Diggs wasn't interested in playing and forcing the run, and they were killing the edge to get that edge.
Can I ask you to do the flip side, like for Dallas defense? Because that first game, first half of the season, we know how the Dallas defense was and how good they were in pressuring the quarterback and creating turnovers and everything. How different is that now? We talk about it every day on the show, but as far as like matchup goes.
Yeah, what you've played. I think you've played perimeter runs better. You've got Hankins is going to take care of the inside stuff for you. So now that helps Van Der Esch run to get to the perimeter beyond the edge. I think you've got guys like, I think Armstrong has done a better job of holding up blocks.
Yeah.
But it depends, like you say, you're still, like, Donovan Wilson has got to play downhill fast. I mean, but you get so much play action with this guy. You know, even though they don't run well, they still fake it like they're going to run it. And now you're moving forward. You're going to have to, like, Armstrong's going to have to be great. Hankins has got to hold the middle. You just can't let them, when they take that snap and hand the ball inside, you can't let that be a four-yard run. You can't. You got to find a way for that to be a 1 or 2 yard run, and then let them play from there. But to me, I think you got better players on the perimeter. I think your safeties. I think Wilson playing safety. Curse. He was in a boot the first game. He got hurt. Got nicked up in that game. And, you know, there was a lot of things going on. But it's going to be about, can your guys get to the outside quick? And like I say, it's different now with Hankins, because Hankins takes up blocks, which allows Clark and Van Der Esch to run. And if you could get them out in space quick enough, then make Fournette have to stop out there, now you don't get that long run for 10, 12 yards like they were getting in that game in week one.
I saw where a stat where Brady leads the NFL and getting the ball out quick, yeah, like 2.5 seconds. So what is he doing? Like throwing, is it quick passes to Evans and Godwin? Because they don't seem like they're guys.
They don't have time to get the ball down the field.
So what is the
it's
pass?
It's all like outs, curls, slants. Uh-huh. It's inside stuff.
They do a lot of bubble screens. Bubble like they'll screen, throw out, yeah, there just to the perimeter, get it out there.
The first play of the game, if you remember, Godwin caught, or it was first or second play of the game, Godwin caught a ball and went like at Diggs and went for like 14, 15 yards. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was like quick, boom, ball. They, in that game, they attacked Diggs. They didn't think Diggs could handle ball coming at him the whole game. Yeah. So that's
and in the run, that's what you're saying, in the run. Not necessarily throwing at him.
Well, the screen, in the screen. Like, the screen came because he's going to retreat, and they couldn't get people out fast enough. You know, their mode in that game was get linemen in space and make the Dallas secondary and linebackers have to deal with that. So I wouldn't be surprised if they try something similar to this, but the ball, they don't, their protection is not good enough for him just to horse the ball down the field. He'll make some throws. I mean, you get guys like in the game against Dallas, Mike Evans caught a ball for like 18 yards up the field and just curled back inside, and everybody, and Brown and everybody, there was so much space.
Yeah.
But as you watch them play, they just don't have the time now to throw the ball. He's not going to sit there. Cincinnati made him hold the ball, and when he's taking hits, he's putting the ball on the turf. I mean, there was a couple times where they're one of the worst teams in third and long in the league, and there's a reason for it, because they can't hold up long enough to get the ball down the field.
Yep. When you look at these wide receivers, you know, we talk a lot about Mike Evans,
Gage,
but you talk about a lot of guys.
Yeah.
I think Chris Godwin is a guy. I think you hit it this morning on the radio, Nick. I thought I remembered you talking about him. But Chris Godwin is when you really think about it, he's the guy that could really kill you. He's got 104 catches for them this year.
Yeah.
Evans has 77. So he is a guy that they go to pretty regularly.
104
catches. Yeah. 1023 is the number of yards, and he had that with one less game. He didn't play one game this season.
Wait, so what's that average? 9.8 or something? What's that? What's his average? What's he averaging per catch?
Oh, I don't know. I don't have that.
Well,
I
mean, 104, 10 times, something like that. Like,
I look it up.
It's almost 10 a catch. But
yeah, close.
That
almost 10.
That shows me that he's throwing those bubble screens a lot to him. Not so much down the field. So, I mean, it's still effective. It's still almost a first down.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Well, I didn't realize he had
it's 9.8.
9.8.
Yeah.
So right there at 10 yards a catch. So, yeah. But, I mean, the point is, and I guess when you think about it, you would immediately almost think, hey, if you're going to take Diggs and you're going to put him on one guy, obviously it'd be Mike Evans. But thinking about that, if you're going to, first of all, do you think it's the right thing to have Diggs travel with someone? And if so, who should be the receiver that he travels with?
I would travel with Godwin myself. I would. I'll tell you why. Yeah. I'll tell you why. Because I think the thing, you know, when you're talking about the other receiver there, I kind of feel like, though, that Evans, he'll drop the ball on you every once in a while.
Yeah.
And that's the thing about it is, I mean, trust me, I'm not saying he's a bum receiver. I'm just saying, though, if you're Brady, you're going to think about in this game, go to the guy that he's thrown the ball to him 100 times. He's 100 receptions there, you know. And Evans, Evans, as great as he is, he loses focus during a game. You will see sometimes he'll drop balls and it's like, whoa, what just happened there, kind of a thing. So if I think if he ha- if you're saying, okay, who is Brady, especially on third downs, who is Brady going to try and get the ball to? He's going to get it to a guy like Godwin, who he knows he can trust is going to make the third down reception. Evans is a downfield player, but like I said, they haven't had the ability because the protection doesn't allow him to get the ball down the field.
Yeah, I think if you're going to follow him with anyone, that would be Godwin. But then when you get to the red zone, I might flip it up a little bit. I might go him a little bit bigger on Evans, and then just try to bracket. You know him. I keep saying Gage. It's Godwin. Yeah. I keep trying to bracket him with Bland or whatever, because that's what worries me. The Bland on like Evans at the 4 yard line. I just feel like that's just a jump ball. I'm not saying Bland's not a fighter. He can't.
Yeah, I was gonna say he's gonna battle. He might give up some, but he's gonna battle.
He's gonna battle. I mean, Aaron Glenn. He was 5'9". he'd battle.
I loved Aaron Glenn's game. So
yeah,
I won't say anything.
They've got to figure out quickly in this game. Dan Quinn's got to figure out quickly. He's got to go and attack. Because, like I say, Micah Parsons over Donovan Smith. Donovan Smith is not ready for this. He's not playing well enough to be. And in the first time around, there were twice where he just embarrassed. He embarrassed Donovan Smith in this game. I mean, they have to be, if you're the Buccaneers, you have to be concerned about Micah Parsons lining up. But it's going to have to be some wins on the other end, too. With Tristan Wirfs and guys like, it can't just be all on Micah Parsons this game. They have got to find some other spots to win and make Brady uncomfortable in this game if they can.
Haven't we seen, though, where teams have taken advantage of the aggressive nature of defensive ends, Micah being one of them, and really run straight at him, toward the off-tackle runs, run out wide, because those guys trying to get to the quarterback sometimes take the easy route to the inside, and then they get wide
play side back play door,
rather than trying to hold the edge.
Yeah.
Do you think that could be a thing that maybe works against Dallas?
The thing about it is the whole idea of playing Tampa this week is keep the outside shoulder free.
Yeah.
Don't give up. Don't run inside. And then all of a sudden you jump inside Armstrong and they turn on you. And now Vander Esch has to fight you getting turned and then getting all the way to the outside.
The whole pursuit is now jacked up.
Exactly. Yeah. Everybody stay square. Keep outside shoulder free. Hankins in the middle. Grab as many of the centers, the guards, and then let these linebackers like Clark and those guys run. And get to – that's the thing. You make Fournette stop. You get a chance. It's like the old days. Who was my guy, Nick, that played for the Giants way back in the day?
Hampton.
Hampton. Who was the
way back?
Number 27. I'm trying to think of
isn't that Hampton?
Rodney Hampton.
Rodney Hampton.
No. There was something. It was another guy. It was built like a big old tank. I know. I can't even remember names.
Oh, you're talking about
Jacobs.
Exactly. There you go. Yeah, Jacobs.
That was a little more recent than Hampton.
Exactly.
Jacobs.
That's what I'm saying.
A nightmare.
Jacobs.
Dude,
I'm saying,
dude.
It was
Brandon Jacobs.
When you get him to the edge and he stopped, then he was like, it was. But no, when he's playing downhill. Yeah. He's a pain in the
because he wasn't slow either. He was big and he could run.
That's what I'm saying. And the same thing with Fournette. You get Fournette kind of stopped and then have to restart. That's a different thing for him to have. That's your goal this week. Yeah. Don't let him make him stop and then go after him. But when they're running those plays where they're pulling guys, everything's flowing. That's a hard play to stop because you can't get bodies over there to stop the ball from getting to the edge.
Yeah, because he's not a guy that's going to just put his foot down and just make a huge cut. Like you have to beat him to the sideline. Yeah. And then, you're saying, if he stops to try to cut back and sees a lane, that's where Van Der Esch, that's where those guys
that's
have
at the meeting right there.
But yeah,
gain of two.
It's about the edge. And Dorrance and Tank, they've got to win that spot to the outside. And then also the corner. The corner's got to be fighting and making sure he cuts back. If he cuts back, that's where your friends are.
This was a game, too, that Tank did a pretty good job in run defense himself. With the ball going away from him, like his ability to work outside the knife inside or just straight shoot the gap, jet the gap, those kinds of things. That's where Tank has got to, the tackles for loss and plays like that. That's where he's going to be. He's going to have to be big. I'll say this, though. With – they've also got this, you know, the kid White, number 29. He's a guy you have. They've started to use him more in a lot of this offensive stuff, handing him the football. So they've got a couple of backs that they're working with right now.
We're going to take our final break. We'll come back. Let's get some fan questions. We'll be back. DallasCowboys.com radio.
The season is finally here. For months, we've been gearing up to win. Now it's time for the team that performs on any field, United Ag and Turf. With John Deere zero turns for mowing, compact tractors for loading, mini excavators for digging, Gator utility vehicles for hauling, implements for grading, hay tools for baling, United Ag and Turf for winning. The official Ag and Turf equipment supplier of the Dallas Cowboys. Visit UnitedAgandTurf.com for more.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savannah. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
Lil Sweet! Did you get to work on time?
Yeah, but I just realized it's Sunday.
Lil Sweet says head on home. Dr. Pepper is on its way. So sweet, unique. Baby, there's nothing better. I bet you've probably done something that deserves a Dr. Pepper. Did you invest your nest egg in an NFT?
Yeah, and I don't even know what that is.
It's a non-fungible token.
Everyone's on something that deserves a Dr. Pepper.
When you build, you start with the foundation. And home ownership is a foundation of a stable future. The Bank of America Community Home Ownership Commitment has helped over 34,000 people lay the groundwork so far. With up to $10,000 towards your down payment or 3% of the purchase price, whichever is less, the satisfaction of owning your own place can become a reality. Visit bankofamerica.com/homeowner to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America NA, Equal Housing Lender. Credit and collateral is subject to approval. Restrictions apply. This is not a commitment to lend.
Back to the break.
Come out to the Miller Lighthouse at AT&T Stadium for a free wild card watch party Monday, January 16th. Cheer on the Cowboys alongside the Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders, Rowdy, while enjoying lawn games, food trucks, music, and more. Gates open at 5:30, kickoff 7:15. For more information, visit dallascowboys.com/2022playoffs.
Who's quarterbacking for the two teams?
I think Dak will be there for the Cowboys and then Brady for the Bucks.
At the game. They will not be at the watch party. Let's be clear about this. They're not going to be at the watch party.
Yeah. DiNucci will be at the watch party.
Will he?
I don't know. Maybe. Yeah. Could be.
You know, he's pretty good on the radio.
Is he?
Yeah, we interviewed him one day.
Is he doing USFL now?
He is. Seattle. It's the XFL. He's Seattle. The Seattle team in the XFL. But actually, we had him on the radio. He does a really good job. He's very entertaining.
So you're saying I need to call him once his career is done?
I'd say you need to give him a call. Like, hey man, are you still under contract anywhere? Yeah.
Are there going to be hats out there in Seattle, like upside down Seattle?
I don't know, man.
He's made that into a nice little business. That's a nice little hat.
Everybody's wearing
it. I know, it's a nice little hat.
But he came on. He's really funny. Busts on himself about things. It's really cool. He was very funny about things.
I really thought he was Romo.
You thought he was going to end up being?
Well, it was very similar. No, they didn't go out and play. You know, then again, Romo waited 4 years. He got time.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the way DiNucci kind of carried himself and all that, I mean, it was very similar to Tony.
You want to know who's giving me Romo vibes is Brock Purdy. Like, have you watched him play yet? The way he plays reminds me a lot of time. Like, he's that kind of guy that kind of dips and ducks and just throws the ball out. Like, he's got a little bit of that.
Plays like
he's got a little
guard.
Bit of that in him. All right, we're going to take some fan questions here in the last few minutes of the show. We got a question from Gary Matera. He says, which linebacker do you take off the field for Leighton Vander Esch? Seems like Barr and Clark have been equally underwhelming. Curious to see what combo they go with.
Vander Esch and Clark are your players in this game.
Yeah.
Why
Clark over Barr?
Because I don't think Barr can really run anymore. I don't see the burst. I don't see the ability to finish. I think plays right at him. Anthony Barr, I think, is totally on board with. Plays that go away where it turns into we got to get to the edge. And this, and we were just talking about this in the previous segment. This is going to be a game that might be played on the perimeter. Mm-hmm. And so you need to get to the perimeter. And I think Anthony Barr has struggled with some of his perimeter play this year.
Might see some goal line for him, though. I mean, because like you said, ball's running at him. His recognition should be there a little bit more. Now, chasing down Fournette in the flat, that may be more Clark's thing. But I could see probably some goal line packages. If he's active, I mean, I'd hate to think that he's not active. No, but I'm just – I don't know the numbers. Yeah, I don't know. I just know one guy's coming.
If everybody's healthy,
that's
then –
that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Somebody's coming back.
Yeah.
I don't – I would imagine he would be, but, I mean, what are you not going to take? Jabril Cox would be inactive.
It'll be Cox. Van Der Esch coming, do you guys have any concerns of, like – how he might play after the injury?
Yeah.
You have to.
But I think he'll actually be fresh. I think, you know what, to me, the thing is, I think Leighton Vander Esch has played so well for you this year, and I don't see that stopping.
He really does. But I feel like it worries me.
Oh, it's going to be a
mentally.
Tough game.
It worries me mentally because I felt like the last injury, he wasn't there mentally. Like, you could see the hesitation of, like, just. This year was finally when he was able to let that go and play without having to think about it that mental block of just not trying to get hurt again. So that's my main concern of him maybe going back to that and just not going full 100% and just kind of hesitating a little bit.
I would think most of the people in the world, when they see a wolf, would run from it. This guy is the hunter of the wolf. I don't think he's going to be that afraid. I really don't. I'm not trying to be funny about it. I think he's got this mental, you got to be careful with any kind of neck, but I don't think he'd be really afraid to go in there and play. This is a big game. I mean, this is a game for him too. Like, yeah, he's a free agent. The world's going to be watching. I mean, like, he has to prove that he can overcome a neck injury and still be the aggressive guy. So I think he will be. I wonder, you know, how he'll play, but I think he's a key player to this game.
I agree. I think he's a huge player for this game, but I do share some of Amber's trepidation. Like, I don't know where he will be after being out these weeks with a neck injury. Like, neck is just different. Like, neck, back is different, especially when you're playing linebacker. You're a crash test dummy every game,
true.
Right?
So,
yeah. He wasn't, just to be clear, he wasn't, like, he's not, like, cleared this week to go play. Like, he's been ready to go. Like this, I don't think he was just cleared this week.
They were letting the thing calm down is what they were doing.
Right.
So
that,
to me, and I could see where everybody's saying what they're saying because, you know, we've seen with Tyron Smith. Yeah. You know, I mean, I was over here like, hey, I think you're going to be better at right tackle. Tyron Smith, they're not playing better at right tackle.
He's not better at right tackle.
They're not better at right tackle right now. Yeah.
So I think there is reason to have some concern. We'll see how he plays. If he gets back to what he was before the injury, that's what Dallas needs. Yeah. If they're going to be successful in the playoffs, to me, they need that level of play.
I think we kind of forget that part. I thought his injury was a big, big blow in that Jacksonville game.
Yeah.
I mean, because the way Travis Etienne or whatever his name is, mm-hmm. Randall.
You said it right. Good job.
Is that right?
Yeah, Etienne, right?
It just doesn't look right. But the way he ran the ball, I mean, I didn't realize he had so many rushing yards. And I think down at the goal line, some of the passes at Barr I thought struggled with there.
Yeah.
I think that was a big, big loss in that game. I'm not sure that Jacksonville wins that game if they, you know, because they had to score a lot of points. And I don't think they would have.
Let's take another question from Sam Greason. He says, do you think they'll have Parsons focus on rushing up the middle to disrupt Brady's pocket? Also, the issues they're having right now at center, their center's hurt.
Do
you think that'd be a good opportunity?
Absolutely.
For them?
Go for it. Yep. If their center situation doesn't stabilize or they don't have their guys in there, the right, you know, who they feel like that they, you know, can play with, by all means, this is a game you move them around. You just figure it out. You say, okay. This is how we're going to rush. I mentioned Donovan Smith. Donovan Smith has to be terrified playing this game, that he has not played well enough this year, and he's got that guy over there that lit him up in week one. So if anything, all that attention on Parsons, somebody else has got to win on these other sides.
And that
too.
Guy could be Sam Williams, who, mm-hmm. you know, his first game of the season didn't really do much, contribute. I don't remember him playing or doing anything in that game. He's got to be a different player than he was now. So, I mean, he could be one of those guys. Once he moves inside, Parsons moves inside, maybe Sam from the outside.
Yeah, one thing about the playoffs that seems to happen every year is you have players for every successful team. that weren't necessarily great players during the regular season that step up and provide something extra in the offseason, in the postseason, I think Sam Williams can be that guy for Dallas. I think he is a guy that if they really use him, I think this offseason, I mean, I'm sorry, in this postseason, yeah. I think he can be a big factor for this defense because I think he has the talent. Yeah. I just don't think he's always gotten the opportunity. Well, and part of that's probably because they needed to mature him along and get him more ready. But I think now's the time to use him.
I don't know what his play snap is. I mean, it can't be anywhere close to what the other guys are. But he led the team in tackles for loss.
Mm. Yeah.
And that's a limited time.
Very limited time.
Very yeah. limited time here. You know, seven tackles for loss. So
amazing.
And also, he gets around the football, too. You know, he's got three fumble recoveries, too.
Yep. Talk about disruptive players. I think outside of Micah, he might be one of your most disruptive players. Yep. No doubt about it. All right, we appreciate you guys joining us. We're back tomorrow. We'll be talking about the Tampa Bay defense versus the Dallas offense. Still in for Nick Eatman, Brian Broaddus, and Amber Garcia. I'm Derek Eagleton. This has been The Break, live on DallasCowboys.com radio.
This has been a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys? Yeah!